Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about living from the truth of being, that there is but one divine life. In this show, we will be explaining how both religion and science is missing the message of Scripture. Listen as we explain a different meaning of the biblical passage, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you," from Matthew 6:33. The perfect divine creation is right here and right now for those who have eyes to see. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the dominion of one divine life. Swami, the title of today's show is Living in the Consciousness of One Divine Self. So what does that look like when we're doing that? What does that mean?
Well, I think what we're talking about here and have been talking about for some time is giving up personal sense, graduating from material beliefs and material concepts and theories, and moving into a spiritual sense of selfhood.
And so how do we come to live that way, living in that consciousness?
Well, what happens is that we start to see that there is but one life. And this one life, this eternal life, is absolute goodness, it's absolute love, absolute harmony. And we live and move and we have our being in that consciousness. And from that level of awareness and our new level of understanding of ourselves as spirit, as this one divine life, we are under the protection of divine law.
Now, is this something that we all have with us? Are we all in this divine life, or do we have to do something to get there?
Well, theoretically, we all have it, because the only thing that's real is this one divine life. But for most of us, we have accepted this false sense of who we think we are. And so we're kind of in the trap. We're living in the shadow of truth. We are accepting mortality. And we have accepted a lifespan as opposed to this eternal, changeless state of being. Now, to answer your question, it is readily available to every one of us, because we are the reflection of that one divine life. But it does seem like it requires something, because when we look out in the world, we're not really seeing this kingdom of heaven on earth, that a lot of what's appearing in our senses is lack, limitation, suffering, sickness, disease. None of these are divine qualities, so apparently there must be something that we have to do to activate this divine omnipresence, this divine consciousness in our experience.
So that's what you're saying when you said it requires something, it requires our awareness?
Well, exactly. We must be aware of it. It's not as simple as that might seem. Because I really like what it says in the Bible, "Ask in my name and it shall be given to you." So in other words, a lot of us try and audibly keep that commandment, and they'll say something to the effect, "In the name of Jesus Christ." save my son, or whatever it is that we're looking to change or add to or eliminate in our lives. But in truth, it doesn't work like that, because we must be in spiritual identity. Ask in my name means to ask in my likeness. And in order for us to accept spiritual identity, we have to put off mortality. We have to put off what the Bible calls the old man. My experience, it's not that easy to do. And so if you read further in Scripture, and especially if you follow Christian Science by Mary Baker Eddy, they make a very clear distinction between Jesus and the Christ. And the Christ is the saving aspect of truth. And that's something that is eternal. It's right here. It's right now. And that Christ is what makes this divine omnipresence intelligible to human consciousness. So even in that quote that we have in the beginning, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you." What we have to first figure out is we need this Christ. We need the interpreter. We need something that will make what is invisible and intangible recognizable to human consciousness. Otherwise, we're trying to do this as a human thinking about this divine consciousness. And what we find is that it lacks the power. It lacks the ability to demonstrate the principle.
Now, was that an example of missing the message of Scripture? As we had said earlier, that we were going to be explaining how both religion and science are missing the message of Scripture.
Well, yeah, I think that's part of how we could explain that. Well, what is the message of Scripture? And for me now, it is the message of the Christ, which is heal the sick, reform the sinner, raise the dead. That is what this consciousness of the one divine self does. It destroys anything unlike itself. And so if we are conscious of it, then we can activate it in our experience. Once we are able to think with divine mind as opposed to mortal mind, then you have authority. You have a little bit more power than if you are trying to work with human consciousness and belief.
So how do we go from this mortal mind to this divine mind? It's not like flipping a switch. I mean, is there meditation involved? I mean, is there a procedure and a process?
Well, to answer your question, I think so. If you can understand meditation as the seventh stage of yoga, and you realize that it begins with yama, and your fifth yama is brahmacharya, which means carrier of Brahman, that in order for us to live in the consciousness of one divine self, we must reconnect to divine consciousness. To internalize the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence as your symbol for validation is what yoga is. And if you do it in the Christian format, they just tell you simply, love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. Or if you try and do the same thing in the Buddhist camp, they say, desire nothing. And of course, when they're talking about nothing, they're talking about the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. But you can't just declare that you're spiritual. You can't say that I love God audibly without becoming. And that's a big part of meditation. That meditation being the seventh stage of yoga, that you move from thinking to realizing. That you're moving from the lower mind, the mid mind, the higher mind into eventually divine mind. Because this experience is revealed to us. It's a revelation. It's not a mental activity. It's not a mental function. Spirit testifies with deeds, not words.
So to live in the consciousness of one divine self, we're not necessarily talking about conduct, you know, doing good deeds. We're talking about living our life according to God's will. Would that be a good assumption?
That's exactly right. And we have to give up personal will for this divine will that you're talking about. And like you're saying, how do I know that it's my will or thy will? And especially when you start drilling down with this whole thing that there is but one life. And if this one divine omnipresence is all, then who am I? Who are you? And these are important questions because as we start to move from accepting ourselves as separate entities and we start to open our consciousness into a broader sense of awareness, spiritual understanding, because on a spirit level, everything is one. Everything is whole and complete and fulfilled right now. And as your identity starts to move into that more inclusive sense of awareness, there's a whole realization that takes place. There is no you and there is no me. What is appearing as you and what is appearing as me is this one divine life. And so that expanded sense of awareness starts to give you a whole different perspective of what you're calling life. Especially when you realize that the same soul that's animating you is animating me. And you start to realize that what you're putting out, you're doing unto yourself. You don't have rules and regulations for that. First of all, you're starting with a sense of self that you like yourself and you have a more inclusive point of identification. And so what you're putting out, you're doing unto yourself. And that's a very different dynamic than when we see ourselves as separate entities. So you're moving from the mentality of the many back into the mentality of the one.
So I'd like to get back to that Bible passage, Matthew 6:33, when you were talking about, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. So I have two questions for you. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God, and what does it mean by his righteousness?
That's really good instruction, because most of us are really trying to work out this human experience before we get religious or we want to become spiritual. But there's a lot of things that I have to have in place first. Whereas as you start to understand this one divine self, that there is but one life and it's perfect. And if you can acknowledge its presence, then you can activate it in your experience. So in other words, now you're moving from material means and you're living by what the Bible calls grace. His righteousness, to judge righteously is to see the allness of this one divine life. That no matter what it is that is reporting in your five senses, you must understand that it is this perfect divine creation. And what is appearing in your five senses is simply your thought about what's really here.
And just one last question I have on that same verse when it says, all things shall be added to you. I think it's interesting that it says the word added to you and not given to you.
Yeah, and I think what is meant by that is that all things shall be added to you comes with spiritual identity. That spirit can't be divided. That spirit is accepted in its completed, fulfilled, absolute, whole entirety. And so all things shall be added to you when you realize that you are an eternal spiritual being. Then there'll be no more seeking, asking, trying, or striving.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I'd like to talk about, in the summary, we have a statement in there, and it says, the perfect divine creation is right here and right now for those who have eyes to see. Now, I don't think we're talking about our physical eyes here. We might be talking about something a little different, and I was wondering if you can explain that to us.
Yeah, that comes back to what I was saying. Ask in my name, spiritual identity. So with spiritual identity comes spiritual sense. And we have 5 physical senses, but at the same time, we have spiritual sense. And our spiritual senses are attuned to the absolute, as opposed to our material senses, which are dealing in the rational, the finite, duality. They abide in the shadow of truth.
So again, we stated that the perfect divine creation is right here, right now, for those who have eyes to see. So how would I know if what I'm seeing is this divine creation or if it's just my mortal thought?
Well, again, I think that's what we were talking about earlier, that spirit testifies with deeds. That you really have to work with the fruits of whatever it is that you're holding in consciousness. If you're working with lack, limitation, sickness, suffering, disease, anything of that nature, this truth, this principle would have to change that. It would have to reveal itself as harmony. Absolute wellness, absolute love, absolute life. And working with that, and that's one of the reasons why I really like Mary Baker Eddy's work in Christian Science, because she puts healing on the table. She says, if you are not able to heal, then you do not understand yourself spiritually. And so there's your litmus test.
Well, and speaking of Mary Baker Eddy, I believe we have a quote from her that we were going to talk about.
Yeah, this comes from Unity of Good, page 18. To be ever conscious of life is to be never conscious of death. I am all. And in Christian Science, this mystical I am really is this one divine self, that the I of my being is the I of your being. Again, on a spiritual level, there's only one life.
So my next question is, how does the law of karma fit into what we're talking about here, about the one divine self?
Yeah, again, we're talking about material rules and material laws, and then we're trying to compare it to spiritual rules and spiritual laws. And so, say, for example, somebody gives you too much change at the store. You see it. Now, what do you do? If you are wanting to live under divine law, divine law doesn't give or withhold. It is the state of divine perfection, harmony, one divine life. Whereas the law of karma is the perfect account. What we put out is what we get back. So in other words, my choice here is, what law do I live under? Do I live under divine law? Now, chances are that if somebody gives me too much change, that would be a signal for me that I need to really look at where my consciousness is, because divine law doesn't make mistakes. In order for me to maybe offer some sort of correction in consciousness, I would give the money back, because divine law is the law of absolute harmony. If I keep the money, then I'm definitely under the law of karma. And I'm sure at some point, I'll be shortchanged. Or somewhere along the line, I will lose that. But the intention here is that we really want to keep our thoughts filled with divine idea. We want to make our thoughts buoyant. We want to start to live out from this one divine consciousness. And so we're looking to find that place where my thought is the same as the divine idea.
Well, we want to experience this dominion over one divine life. But I think it's interesting, that term or that word dominion. So we have to almost train ourselves to be able to exercise this dominion over one divine life.
Well, I think it's important to understand what is meant by dominion, because dominion really is divine law, this perfect divine law. Divine creation is perfect. There's nothing that has to be eliminated, added to, removed, or changed in any way. This divine creation is perfect. God's work is done. Now, all we really have to do is acknowledge it, and it will appear as a power that is changing external circumstances and situations. But in truth, all it does is reveals the truth that is being veiled by our thoughts about what's there.
I believe we have a quote by Herb Fitch which could further explain what it is that we've been talking about.
Yeah, this comes from Revelation of St. John, and it was class 10. And the quote is, "And so the rainbow, the consciousness which is no longer divided into good and evil, into light and dark, into God and something else, but the consciousness that God is all, that spirit is all that can be. Why only John? What about us? Do we believe there is aught but spirit, aught but God? Do we still believe there is such a thing as evil, error, problems? We know better. We simply haven't remained alert. We haven't let them dissolve by touching the light of our consciousness. We have even let them tempt us into reaction and give them a life they do not have." And I really like that quote that he says there, that it is our reaction to the testimony of our senses. It is us believing that that is real, gives it the appearance of having power. And that always reminds me of, if you've ever gone skiing, you went on a tow rope, that if you grab the tow rope, it will pull you up the mountain. Now, as you're going up the mountain, there are other people on the rope. If somebody in front of you falls and you continue to hang on to that rope, you're going to plow right into them. And there's usually a big pileup. And so the simple thing that you have to do is when somebody falls in front of you, just loosen your grip on the rope. Just stand on the mountain until they get up. And so us reacting to these problems, circumstances, and situations gives them the appearance of power. And what we really have to do is loosen the rope. We have to really identify with the truth of being. And our fidelity to that divine consciousness will appear as the correction of whatever it is that is appearing as a problem.
And I see he goes on to talk more about this inner rainbow. I wonder if maybe you could enlighten us about that.
Yeah, well, think about what the rainbow is. That the rainbow is what makes white light visible in seven different colors. And that's kind of like what we were talking about the Christ. The Christ is the prism that makes this divine, invisible, intangible omnipresence intelligible to human consciousness. And so this inner rainbow that they talk about in Revelations is the revealing of this divine presence to human consciousness.
And I believe we have a quote, too, from that same class by Herb Fitch.
Yeah, this inner rainbow, this light, this glory, this realization takes you out of body consciousness. You still appear in the world, you are visible to others, but your consciousness lives in reality. There are no opposites in your consciousness now. Whatever you discern is that which is in the kingdom of God, under divine law, and ever perfect. You have shattered the belief in a human lifespan that begins with birth and ends with death. You are your pre-existent self, reunited with the Father, living as the one eternal life. That's the end of the quote. But I really think what he's encouraging us to do is exactly what this show is all about, living in the consciousness of one divine self and the benefits that would come with that.
I find it interesting that the beginning of our Theory 2 class, we start off by saying, your worth is not determined by external circumstances, but by the degree in which you manifest yourself in God. And that really seems to, I think, sum up kind of like what we've been talking about.
Yeah, I think we've always been striving for that. We really want to realize that we are the expression of this indestructible principle.
Well, I'd like to take some time and just talk a little bit about what it means to manifest ourselves in God.
I think what we're talking about here is exactly what we've been saying, that we need to know ourselves in the way that we are known by the Creator. So we need to accept ourselves and know ourselves in spiritual identity. We have to rise above our material limits and identify with this immortal, eternal, infinite being that we really are.
Well, I think this is time to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Then once you're there on that homepage, if you click on the products tab and then click on online classes, that will give you selections to choose from to continue your learning experiences. And also on the homepage, when the fading banner comes up for a Blog Talk Radio show, you can click that on and that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio show catalog page. So with that, Swami, do you have any of the final thoughts about today's program?
Well, again, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and experience the dominion of one divine life. And with that, namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga Kana Day. Namaste.